In a logo, comets descend from the sky. Each becomes a five-pointed star. The white stars form an arch above the peak of a snow-covered mountain. The image transforms into a white logo over a blue background. Paramount Players. Another logo reads, BET Films. Nighttime. A news report plays in a diner.
Breaking news from California at the Metropolitan Courthouse in downtown Los Angeles. A now familiar scene. An officer accused of the shooting of an unarmed African-American male in the Southwest Division last August has been found not guilty.
An officer enters and removes his hat.
Hey, Bob.
The older server glances at him.
The officer claimed he thought the victim was reaching for a gun in his car.
You get a coffee?
It's not working, man.
What?
Then
let me get a medium coke.
The server eyes the officer with a disdainful look, then grudgingly gets him a soda.
All across the city and the nation, including Swinton, spontaneous protests have erupted to decry the verdict, as well as to protest police violence. At the courthouse, activists gathered outside and marched through downtown. Various peaceful protests escalated as objects were thrown at City Hall, as well as several police vehicles.
The server puts the drink on the counter. The officer, whose name tag reads Ganning, collects his soda.
You're not welcome here today, Kevin. Not today, man.
He slides Ganning's money back toward him. In his cruiser, Ganning drives through the pouring rain and talks on his cell phone.
Was she amazing? Ah, that's my baby. That's my princess. Was it the blue dress? No. I know. I wish I could be there, too. There's a lot going on, all right? It's, you know, doing this for us. It'll all be over soon enough. I won't miss anything else. Okay, no, I love you, too, baby. Hey, look, I gotta go back, all right? Bye.
A green van passes, and he turns on his lights.
Dispatch, this is 18 Lincoln 4, over.
18 Lincoln 4, go ahead.
Central, show me where the car pulled over at East 11th in South Dakota. I have a green Chevy van with left tail light out, no tags.
10-4, 18 Lincoln 4.
The van stops at the curb, and Ganning parks behind it. Getting out of his vehicle, Ganning turns on his body camera. A view from the chest-mounted camera's perspective shows him approaching the van. He peeks into its back windows. He touches the darkened left taillight. A glimpse from his dashboard camera's perspective shows him approaching the driver's side window. He knocks on the glass.
Ma'am, can you roll your window down, please? Ma'am, roll your window down now.
Rain and fog on the window obscure the driver from view. Ganning peers through the windshield and notices a bloody rag on the dashboard.
Ma'am, place your hand on the steering wheel. Right now.
He draws his gun.
Step out of the van.
Exit your vehicle. Get out of your vehicle now!
The driver complies.
Turn around! Turn around! Get your
hands on the vehicle! Put your hands in the air now! Put your hands
on the vehicle! Now! You understand what I'm saying to you? Turn around now! Don't make me hurt you, please! Are you on? Get on the ground! Wait, bro!
Videos from both cameras show Ganning flying backward into the air. Cut to black. Words appear. 12 hours earlier. Daytime. In a bedroom, a middle-aged woman stares out a window with a far-off look. She pulls a child's framed drawing from a box. It reads, "My Family," and depicts a mother, a father, and a child. Elsewhere in the room, a bearded man removes a child's drawing from a wall. He gazes at the image with a somber smile. As she continues staring out the window, the middle-aged woman fiddles with a toy triceratops. Her brow furrows, and a glimpse shows the lifeless body of a drowned boy sinking in dark water.
Some of this may sound redundant. I appreciate you, your patience as we hammer through these questions again, Renee. Please bear with me as the standard review questions are cursory. I just want to dig in one more time to what we've been talking about every week. Okay. Have you had any trouble sleeping?
No.
Now, the woman drives at night.
Any trouble relating to people?
No.
Have you had violent impulses?
As we talked about, it was a complicated situation.
Renee, you struck a civilian.
People could say whatever they want about what happened.
The administration and the public saw your body cam footage, Renee. They saw how you handled that.
Look, I gotta be on point. I have to walk up to strangers. Some of them are hostile.
How can you handle that stress?
Wearing a police uniform, Renee rolls her eyes at the evaluator.
Have you moved on from your son's death?
She stares off with an uncertain look.
I need to work. I really need to work.
She fixes him with a determined gaze. The evaluator wears a resigned expression.
Okay. I'm going to recommend you return to active duty on nights again, okay?
Yes, thank you, sir.
You can start the next shift. Watch Commander will pair you.
In a dark hallway, Renee aims a gun. Blue and red lights flash overhead. A paper target of a man aiming a shotgun pops out and she fires. The lights come on, revealing the space as a parking garage. In a police briefing, Ganning takes a seat beside Renee.
We had an alley dub last night. Female, Latina, 20s. No ID, no suspects at this time, so be on the lookout. Check with your CI, see if you can get anything. Also, with the acquittal of our brother officers yesterday, Mr. and Mrs. Public are going to be all out of sorts, so be gracious. Courteous. Don't start shit.
Good to see you.
Stay poised. Also, let's welcome back Officer Nomiro. He is officially back in the bag. And according to my notes, he's buying everybody a beer after watch.
A young officer smiles.
Okay, that's it. Let's go do work. Stay safe.
Renee and Ganning exchange a nod as they rise from their seats. She approaches the sergeant at the podium.
Sarge, you put me with a rookie? Really?
I get it. Help me out.
They hug.
Hey, come here. Welcome back, lady.
Thanks, Sarge.
Renee starts to leave the briefing room.
Don't slap anyone today.
She points her finger and shakes her head as she heads out. Elsewhere, a desk clerk places body cams into charging slots as officers return them.
All right.
In the parking garage, uniformed officers chat in groups near their vehicles. An older cop with a shaved head talks to Ganning.
Yes. I didn't know that he scuba dived.
I don't, but I will.
Renee chats with another female officer.
Just been itching to get back on the job.
Yeah.
How's everything?
Good.
Yeah. Okay. So.
The young officer joins Renee.
What up?
His colleagues stare.
What up?
Danny Howard?
Yeah. Officer Lomito?
Yeah. We're partnering together. Danny, this is Pinda, Ganning, Burke, and Roberts.
Oh, yeah, we know this fuckface. Ganning was his first CO, tried his best to break him.
Howard, you got yourself a good babysitter.
You got yourself squared?
Yep.
All right. Y'all be safe.
You be safe, Renee.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Danny. Always got no love for us right now. Your head down, your eyes open. Stay close, Renee.
Got a head down, eyes open.
But not too close.
Penda smiles at Danny.
Can I go?
Yeah. If you're looking to make a little extra cash, Danny, I could use somebody to mow my lawn on Sunday.
Fuck you.
Renee finds a boxing glove keychain on her steering wheel. Smiling, she holds it up to her colleagues.
Fuck you guys.
You're welcome.
Pink is your color.
Can't be too careful.
No, I mean, she punched somebody in the face.
Watch that right hook.
Renee gets into the driver's seat of her SUV cruiser. Danny rides in the passenger seat. They pull out of the parking garage and away from the precinct. They drive past a homeless encampment beneath an overpass. The number atop their vehicle reads 2342. Renee and Danny pass a cluttered auto shop. He stares out his window as she drives. people loiter outside a gas station. Renee turns a corner and they drive slowly down a residential street.
You know, those guys back there, they're just, you know, fucking around. They do really respect me. They don't actually. You know, I'm not a baby. I've been doing this for a good minute. Should we put on some music or are we just gonna sit here in total silence?
She spots a child in the road.
Hey, looks like a kid.
Yeah.
They get out of the vehicle. Danny and Renee both turn on their body cams. She shines her flashlight as they approach the little boy squatting in the road. Her chest camera video shows no one else around. Danny shines his flashlight at neighboring houses. He puts his light away and addresses the boy.
What's up, little guy?
Renee bends down.
Hey. Hi there. It's okay, sweetie.
What you doing out here?
Just want to make sure you're okay.
People emerge from houses.
Calm down. It's okay.
Hey, take it easy. We're good.
Hey! Get away from him!
Sorry, ma'am. Just trying to make sure he's okay.
Mind your own damn business.
There's just a little boy in the middle. Hey, back up. Back up now.
Hey, everything's all right. Everything's all right. Calm down.
We're good.
Just trying to make sure the kid's all right. He was in the street. Go back to your homes, okay?
Hey, relax.
Everything's good. Mm-hmm.
Renee and Danny back away from the crowd.
Go back to your homes. Everything is okay. Have a good night.
The officers head back to their vehicle. They get in, and Danny shakes his head.
That was good how you handled that, though.
Thanks. Go for 18 Adam 7.
18 Adam 7, code 2, East 11th in South Dakota, 18 Lincoln 4. Failure to respond, wind code 6.
That's Ganning.
Yeah.
Dispatch 18 Adam 7 en route to location.
897, respond to ETA, 3 minutes.
Their SUV speeds through the streets. Renee and Danny wear focused expressions.
He's probably just fucking around.
No, it's not like him.
Video from their dash cam shows them approaching Ganning's cruiser. It sits parked at an angle in the road with the green van gone.
What the hell happened to the streetlights? Dispatch, this is 18 Adam 7. Spotted 18 Lincoln 4 on East 11th in South Dakota. The cruiser is down.
10-4, 18 Adam 7. Rolling back up. 18 Adam 9, 18
14. Renee and Danny get out of their SUV. She wears a concerned expression. Her body cam video shows her shining her flashlight as she approaches Ganning's cruiser. Walking a few paces behind her, Danny scans the area. She finds the front driver's side tire flat. Danny rounds the back of the vehicle and touches the left taillight.
Shit.
Renee's flashlight illuminates a bloody bone fragment on the bull bar.
Danny.
He steps to the front of the cruiser.
Oh, shit.
She shines her light through the windshield. Danny spots something.
Fucking teeth.
Several human teeth lie in a pool of blood on the car's hood. They each go to opposite sides of the vehicle. Renee opens the driver's side door and shines her light inside. Danny opens the passenger door and leans into the cruiser. He types on a laptop nestled between the seats. Straightening, he looks to his partner.
Not working. Fucking thing is shot.
Grab the big light. Check the north side.
He uses his radio.
Send me more units. Still trying to locate 18 Lincoln 4. Over.
On Ganning's laptop, Renee pulls up a distorted dash cam video.
Hey! College!
Put your hands on the steering wheel! Put your hands on the steering wheel! hands on the steering wheel. Get out of the vehicle now.
She leans closer.
Man, get out of the vehicle now.
The van door opens.
Green Vandal, please.
The video glitches and jumps ahead. Now, standing alone in the rain, the driver faces Ganning's car with her trembling hands raised. The video cuts out again, and she disappears. The police cruiser gets knocked away from the green van. A crack forms in the windshield. Renee furrows her brow and watches the video intently. Ganning's bloody body drops onto the hood. An overhead view creeps toward Renee in the cruiser. She stares off with a pensive look. The video glitches, then shows Ganning pulling himself from the street onto the hood of the vehicle. His face bloody, he looks directly into the dash cam.
Oh my God, Kevin.
With an anxious expression, Renee watches as Ganning lifts into the air and out of view. A buffering wheel appears on the video as it freezes. Renee's eyes shift as she peers into the darkness outside the cruiser. She gets out of the car. With a furrowed brow, she narrows her eyes and scans the area. She walks away from the police vehicle with her flashlight aimed. Her body cam video shows her approaching a derelict building covered in graffiti. Her light's beam falls on something on the ground.
Danny!
Renee briefly observes the black boot, then walks ahead.
You got something?
She pushes on a gate covered in tattered plastic. Danny joins her.
There's gotta be a way in here.
An overhead view hovers above the officers. They duck through a hole in the chain link fence. Scanning the overgrown area, they find a pickup truck, chemical barrels, and rusted equipment. A large segment of a brick structure lies to one side. Passing it, the officers turn, and Renee searches the ground with her flashlight. She and Danny both carry their pistols at their sides. Noticing something, she lifts her light upward, and he follows suit.
Oh, shit.
Danny holsters his gun, then doubles over and vomits. Our view circles behind Renee, revealing Ganning's impaled corpse hanging from a window above the doorway. A stream of wet blood streaks from his mutilated face to the ground. Renee shakes her head faintly. Danny turns away. Later, firefighters use a crane to lower Ganning's corpse. The sergeant ducks beneath police tape and walks through the crime scene. He approaches Renee and Danny. The young officer sips a cup of water.
So what do we got?
Green Chevy van, no plates. Ganning pulled the vehicle over, pulls his weapon on a female, black 30s.
The driver?
I'm not sure, the footage cut out.
Footage doesn't exist, Renee. IT said that the car got fried when Gannon's car got hit.
I saw that footage, sir.
The sergeant glances at Danny, who shrugs.
So who hit his car, the green van? Gannon's body cam got fried, too. It's blank.
A detective joins them.
Casper, so these two were the primary unit that took the call?
We saw a black female, 30s.
So one woman did all this? Is that why you screwed around with the dash cam? You know protocol. It's evidence, officer. By touching it, you're interfering with the crime scene. Sarge.
Okay. I'll meet you back there.
If you want to help Ganning, write up what you saw while it's still fresh in your mind.
It's fucking bullshit.
Come on, man. Let's get a drink. I'm sorry.
A crime scene investigator snaps photos of Ganning's body. The sergeant and the blonde detective stand over the corpse with furrowed brows. A piece of metal, cut at a sharp angle, protrudes from Ganning's chest. In a bar, Renee sits at a table by a window and stares into the night. Danny pays for drinks at the counter.
Thank you, Mom.
He carries the drinks to Renee's table and takes a seat opposite her.
much stuff, is it?
Bourbon rocks.
Thanks, man. What you drinking?
Club soda.
Shit. Gannon was my first partner.
I can't fucking believe that he's dead. That's crazy. I mean, who the fuck would do something like that to him? It's bullshit.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Does it give you any faith in humanity? That fucking detective telling us that we can go home?
Yeah, no. How can I tell her what I saw? The whole department's just waiting for me to fuck up again.
Why?
Because I hit a guy.
Yeah, I saw that video too.
Shit. Everybody's seen that video.
Yeah.
She stares out the window with a pensive expression.
That guy, he just wouldn't shut up. He just kept talking and talking. Just being disrespectful. You know?
Well, how? What was he saying?
He said some shit like, "You black bitch." And I blacked out. Lost it. Body cam footage was all he needed to take me off the street for 8 months. I mean, listen, I'm not unstable. I was going through a lot. I lost my son.
Danny drops his gaze.
Sure.
Renee furrows her brow.
He drowned in our neighbor's pool.
She wears a haunted expression. Danny looks at her and nods.
I'm sorry about that.
At home, Renee's bearded husband uses a laptop in the dining room. He looks over as Renee approaches him.
Hey, Queen.
She kisses his head, then joins him at the table.
You're home early. What happened? What?
Ganning. He was killed.
He looks stunned.
Oh, my God.
Renee somberly shakes her head.
I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
No.
They lock eyes.
I feel almost out of touch with reality. I can't even explain what I saw. Something terrible happened. And I have to find out why.
Wait, it's your first day back. Can't they put someone else on it?
This man was like my brother.
You're too close to Ganning. Well, Christopher, it's all just, it's too much.
I can't have another person close to me die without trying to do something. I felt so helpless with Christopher. I still feel helpless. I gotta do something.
Hey.
He reaches for her and smiles.
Don't worry, you're not alone.
She drops her gaze. Outside, a view rising to the night sky transforms into an underwater view of sunlight. In bed, Renee has a nightmare about Christopher drowning, mingled with the dash cam video from Ganning's cruiser. A close view of the van driver's pant leg shows a white cross painted on it. Renee wakes. In her living room, Renee sits on the couch with her laptop. She views a photo album titled My Family. Black and white pictures show Christopher in the hospital as a newborn. In one of the photos, Renee notices a poster on the wall bearing the same cross that was painted on the van driver's pant leg. The poster reads, Swinton Memorial. Renee opens her browser and types the hospital name into a search engine. On the Swinton Memorial website, she types nursing staff into the search bar. A page pops up titled, Meet Our Primary Care Team. She scrolls to a photo of a smiling woman. The name above her picture reads, Tanisha Brands, RN. In her police SUV, Renee rides in the passenger seat as Danny drives.
Dispatch, this is 18 Adam 7. Need a DMV check on a Tanisha Brandt, age 34.
Copy that.
That woman on Ganning's dash cam, I might know who she is. This was on our scrubs.
What is it?
It's Swinton Hospital. I remember it when I had my son there. Check the staff website. She hasn't worked there in 6 months.
18 Adam 7, Tanisha Brands, 1733 North Dorjonois, no wants, no warrants.
Copy that.
In a residential neighborhood, Danny and Renee stop outside a darkened house. As they get out of the vehicle, Danny glances at a man crossing the street behind them. Renee shines her flashlight toward the dark house and walks forward.
Amita.
Danny gestures to his body cam.
Nah, leave it off for now. It's my business.
He nods, glances over his shoulder, and turns on his flashlight. Approaching the house, they ascend steps to the front porch. Several pieces of mail lie strewn across the porch on the other side of a gate. Renee shines her light on the pile. Reaching through the gate, she picks up an envelope addressed to Tanisha Brands. It reads, Final Notice, Membership Reinstatement.
For Tanisha Brands. This was sent like a month ago.
She drops the letter. Renee shines her light on the front door.
Tanisha Brands?
She moves the beam to a window covered by a dirty screen, then tries the padlock on the gate.
There's gotta be another way in. Let's try the side.
Danny nods. On the side of the house, they approach a fence bearing a no parking sign. Renee leads the way. Finding the gate open, she and Danny exchange a nod and go through. Her flashlight beam cuts through the darkness as she approaches a tattered plastic tarp. She peers through a tear into a room filled with racks of clothes.
You see anything?
Just a bunch of clothes.
She proceeds around the side of the house. Danny peeks through the tear in the tarp, shining his light on a green hooded coat inside. It faces away from him. As he lowers his flashlight and steps away, the silhouette of the coat moves out of view. The officers continue into the overgrown backyard. Renee tries the back door, but finds it locked. She pushes on another door beside it, finding it slightly ajar. The door swings open at her touch. Danny hesitantly follows her inside. They enter a kitchen. Danny waves his hand in front of his face and pinches his nose.
Oh, shit.
Renee keeps her hand gripped on her sidearm in its holster. He goes to a wall and tries a light switch.
There's nothing.
They split off in separate directions. Renee and Danny search the dark, cluttered home. The two officers converge on opposite sides of the dining room.
Look for any evidence linking her to Canning's murder.
Okay.
She notices framed photos of a boy on the mantle. With a furrowed brow, she approaches a shrine with more framed pictures of the teen boy. Renee picks up a newspaper clipping. Handwriting above an image of the boy and Tanisha reads, DeMarco Brands, December 10th, 2003 to April 19th, 2019.
This must be his son.
Danny's flashlight beam falls on pictures of DeMarco hanging from a mobile. He lowers the torch with a sullen expression. Turning toward a doorway, Renee cocks her head at Danny. He follows her out of the room. In a hallway, she keeps her hand on her gun and steps into a bathroom. She finds prescription pill bottles on the counter and checks their labels. Renee steps toward an open door with a mirror on it. Danny's reflection shows him pulling the linen closet open further. Renee briefly scans the space, then leaves the room. The descending view settles on a hatch in the floor. A hand pops out of the hatch. In the hall, Renee approaches a door, but finds it locked. She turns to an adjacent room and finds it ransacked.
What the hell?
Bits of plaster and overturned furniture fill the space. Renee approaches a door with a mirror hanging on it. She opens it, revealing a closet. Pushing the clothes inside out of the way, she discovers a hole in the back wall. She gestures at Danny, and he glances over his shoulder. Renee climbs through the hole into another bedroom. Danny follows. Art pieces made from book pages hang above a desk. They read DeMarco. Renee opens a drawer and finds many brightly colored balls with smiley faces on them inside. With a curious expression, she picks up a green ball and studies it. A view from another room shows someone in a hooded coat passing by a mirror. Danny lifts his head.
You hear that?
He nods. As Renee heads back into the kitchen, a view through the doorway behind her shows the person in the hooded coat going downstairs. Danny approaches.
Let's get out of here, Renee.
Someone's in here.
She draws her gun, and Danny follows suit. They stride into the adjacent hall and go down a flight of stairs. Stepping through a doorway, the officers turn down an unfinished corridor. A single fluorescent light dimly illuminates the basement space beyond. Danny splits off from his partner. Renee finds a mattress and blankets on the floor, and two canisters lying atop the makeshift bed. Strings of origami cranes hang from the ceiling. Elsewhere, Danny enters a room with a large birdcage, a dresser, and a filing cabinet. He cautiously opens the top drawer of the dresser. Finding only clothes inside, he shuts the drawer. He starts to walk away. Danny turns back to the dresser and hesitantly opens another drawer. Hundreds of cockroaches fly out. He brushes them from his clothes and hair.
All right, Lomito. I'm out of here. Fuck this.
A close view shows one of the roaches leaning over the edge of the drawer. Danny goes upstairs.
Hollis, is that you running around upstairs?
Renee heads down the unfinished corridor.
I'm outside. There's nobody in there. I don't see anybody in there.
With her hand on her holstered gun, she cautiously steps toward the door leading outside.
Police officer, who's there?
The door slams shut. She tries the handle, but finds it locked. Renee shines her flashlight down the corridor. As she turns away, a tall, shadowy figure appears at the other end. She continues frantically jiggling the knob. The figure vanishes just as she shines her light in its direction. Renee peers down the hall. The figure reappears beside her as she turns back to the door. She breaks the window in the door, unlocks it, and hurries out. The figure disappears. Renee joins her partner in the backyard.
See anyone?
No, I didn't see anybody. I mean, it had like 1,000 fucking cockroaches. fly at me, feeling like...
What?
Crazy. I don't know how I feel about this, you know, you checking out your own leads. I don't know really if I can do this. It's like... things kind of freaking me out.
You gotta trust me. Okay?
Okay, trust you.
Okay, let's go.
Fucking roaches, man. I'd rather get shot at.
They leave. Inside the house, glimpses show the strings of origami cranes, a chandelier, and the photo mobile. In an upscale neighborhood, a silver SUV pulls into a driveway. Renee parks and sits in her vehicle with a troubled expression. She glances out the window, then stares off. In her living room, Renee uses her laptop on the sofa. She types Tanisha Brands into a search engine, and a Swinton Daily News link appears. She clicks on it, bringing up an article titled, Services This Sunday for 14-year-old DeMarco Brands. Now, Renee views Tanisha's info on the Swinton Memorial Hospital website. In the city, the green van pulls into a Lucky Food Store parking lot. Two young men loiter outside.
Yeah, I want fucking money. I want my fucking money. I'm telling you, I want my money. Stupid ass. How you gonna steal a stick shift if you couldn't drive? He won't ride.
Wearing a green hooded coat, Tanisha gets out.
I'm not playing with him.
Man, he's stupid, bro.
And he running around here with jewelry all on his neck.
Crazy, bro.
The young men eye Tanisha as she passes. A tattooed man nudges his lanky friend, and they exchange a look. Inside the store, the clerk bags up beer for a customer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He watches Tanisha place items in a basket. His gaze lifts to a security monitor. The young men enter with their phones out. The tattooed man faces the clerk, and the lanky man records himself as he knocks items off shelves.
I got you.
All right. So, bro, you gotta charge it. My phone did.
I don't have any.
You need to ask me what kind of phone I got.
Hey, buddy.
Come on, man. It's a neighborhood store. Come on.
Charger.
I don't have a charger, sir.
USB.
I don't have any.
The lanky man opens a cooler and pockets a can of beer.
Well, look in the back, man.
No. Hey, put that back.
He notices Tanisha.
Do? Put the beer back.
Man, what you
I've
gonna
had
do?
It.
Hey.
She hangs her head and continues shopping.
Hey, woman.
Buddy, come on.
He approaches her.
Come on.
Why are you hiding?
She looks up at him with an anxious expression while he records her.
Oh, you ain't gonna tell me? You scared of me? Huh?
Yo, leave her alone.
Shut the fuck up.
Mother chut. Leave her alone.
I said shut the fuck up.
Get the fuck out, man. Get the fuck out of my store.
Shut up.
We're not going nowhere, bro.
You are.
We're not going
Let's see.
Fucking well. I'm gonna report your motherfucking name.
The tattooed man records
hey,
the clerk.
I'm right here. Say you scared.
Outside, on, two officers spot the van.
Green van, no place reported again. It's pulled over, right?
Goddamn right.
Hey, dispatch. This 1885 checking 1154. Green van, no place at the 1300 block of Ripley. Possible vehicle involved in gang homicide. Requesting backup.
Roberts and Burke turn into the Lucky Food Store parking lot and get out. They cautiously approach the green van and peer in the windows. In their police SUV, Renee and Danny drive through a residential neighborhood.
18 Adam 7 code 2, 1300 block of Ripley. 18 Adam 5, sighting of a green van, no plates, requesting backup.
Turning on the siren, Renee makes a U-turn. Roberts and Burke enter the convenience store. Burke approaches the lanky man, who still records Tanisha.
Hey!
The overhead lights flicker, and a security monitor glitches.
Who owns the van?
They're stealing things, man.
We're not stealing nothing, officer. This man lying, bro.
He's stealing.
He's driving a van out front?
No, sir. We ain't driving no van.
Donald, you need these hands above your head.
Fuck this.
Drop the phone and get down on your knees.
Dude, I just told you you're not driving that shit.
Do you have any weapons on you?
That's fucked up. Keep filming, bro. I don't got nothing on me.
Shut up!
The lanky man shoots Burke and grabs Tanisha.
Let us out!
Hey, Burke! Burke, can you hear me?
Burke drops to the floor.
Let me and my boy out of here.
Burke, say something!
What the fuck, bro?
Fuck that, man. I ain't going back.
Burke!
Let us out.
Let it go while I light your ass up!
Think I'm playing?
Burke, talk to me.
The lights go out. An invisible force lifts the lanky man off the floor, and he fires wildly. Roberts takes cover, but the clerk gets shot. Burke lies motionless on the floor with a bullet wound in her neck and blood pooling beneath her. Crouched behind a shelving unit, Roberts lowers his gun and glances back at her.
Burke!
He moves to her limp body and checks for a pulse. He looks toward a round mirror in a high corner by the coolers. The glass briefly reflects a shadowy form moving through the store. Getting to his feet, but still staying low, Roberts glances down at his partner, then cautiously heads into the next aisle. He aims his gun at the tattooed man lying face down on the floor, but the man doesn't move. A pool of blood lies beneath him. Roberts goes to the next aisle and aims, but finds it empty. He crouches down and leans his back against a shelving unit. He cautiously gets to his feet and moves into the last aisle. He aims his gun, then lowers the weapon and glances around. The lanky man drops from the ceiling. Standing, Roberts aims his gun and carefully moves into the next aisle, where the lanky man lies covered in his own blood. With his mouth agape, he reaches toward Roberts. The shadowy figure rises behind the officer and jerks its neck to the side. The lanky man points behind Roberts as the officer stares. A plastic bag appears over the officer's head, suffocating him. Roberts pulls the bag off his head, then fires into the empty space behind him. He scans the air in front of him, then starts to rise off the floor. The shadowy figure grabs his throat. The lanky man's cell phone records Roberts' levitating body, but does not show the assailant. The officer fires as he flies backward. From the lanky man's hazy perspective, we watch the shadowy figure move away. The lanky man goes limp, and his head lolls to the side. Renee and Danny arrive outside the store.
Dispatch is 18 out of 7, arriving for backup 1300 block of Ripley. 1885 report back, over. 1885 went towed 6 a few minutes ago.
Roger that, scanning the area, over.
They get out of their cruiser and switch on their body cams. Videos from their chest-mounted cameras show Renee approaching Roberts and Burke's SUV and Danny walking to the green van. He taps on a window with his flashlight. Renee shines her light into the SUV.
Clear.
Clear.
They grip their guns and walk toward the convenience store. Danny opens the door for Renee, and she steps inside. She cautiously sweeps her flashlight across the store. Danny notices something in the first aisle and moves toward it.
Officer down! Officer down!
He checks Burke's pulse.
Shit. She's dead.
He speaks into his radio.
Dispatch, it's 18 Adam 7. We got an officer down. Send an EMT now.
18
Adam
7, dispatch.
Looking down, Renee lifts her foot, revealing bloody teeth beneath her boot. She walks forward, aiming her gun and flashlight ahead of her as she goes. A hand grabs her ankle. She points her pistol and flashlight down at the tattooed man's mutilated face. He convulses and shuts his eye as he goes limp. Renee checks his pulse on his wrist. She gets to her feet and continues through the store. She spots the lanky man's corpse in the next aisle and continues on. Her flashlight beam falls on a pair of legs sticking out from behind the counter. She rounds the structure to find Robert's bloody corpse on the floor.
Second officer down.
Dispatch, this is 18 out of 7. Correction, we've got two officers down, okay? Send an ambulance immediately.
Renee lifts her flashlight to the dead clerk behind the cash register. A bullet wound mars his chest. Danny gets to his feet and moves away from Burke's body, keeping his gun and light aimed ahead of him. He checks all the aisles.
Clear.
Renee rises from a kneeling position beside Robert's corpse as Danny strides toward the door. She goes into a dimly lit back room with her pistol and flashlight aimed. Noticing a pair of double doors at the other end of the storage space, she walks toward them. Renee opens the doors and scans the darkness outside with her flashlight. Finding the area empty, she backs into the storage room. She turns away from the door, and it swings shut behind her. Lowering her weapon, she knits her brow at security monitors, which show Tanisha shopping.
There you are.
The video glitches, then shows brief glimpses of the shootout. The video stops, and Renee taps a keyboard. One of the monitors shows Tanisha shopping. The other shows a close view of someone's trembling hand. A buffering wheel appears, and Renee taps the keyboard again. The monitors cut out. Renee goes back to the main room. The lanky man's cell phone lies beside his corpse. Renee picks it up. Its clock ticks from 10:38 to 10:39 p.m. Taking the phone, she walks away. Later, outside, the blonde detective talks with Renee and Danny.
So apparently, the security cameras in this place are completely cosmetic because there's nothing on the cars. They're blank.
I'd put out an APB on a black woman mid-30s.
Someone you saw on the scene?
I'm thinking it's the same woman from Danny's dash cam.
Did you see a woman here?
She looks at Danny.
No.
Okay, listen, this is what we've got so far. We ran the VIN number on the van. It's the property of the pastor of a church on Gaskell. We questioned him after Ganning's murder, and he said that his van completely disappeared. We figured that the perps that were in there got it. Ganning tried to bust him, and they killed him. It appears that Roberts and Burke found these guys.
Did they say how they were killed?
No. We're still working on it. We'll take it from here.
The detective leaves. Danny eyes Renee with concern.
Renee.
They're going to try to pin Ganny's murder on these two.
That's good, right?
Yeah, but they weren't the ones driving the van when he pulled it over. Tanisha Brandt was.
What are you talking about?
She waves Danny away. They step behind a coroner's van. Standing out of view, Renee takes out the lanky man's phone and shows it to Danny.
Dude, did you take that? Is that evidence? What are they going to say when they... What the fuck are they going to say when they find that you're stealing evidence?
You're the only one that knows.
No, I'm not doing this with
Relax.
You.
Relax.
No, Renee. All right, you're on your own trip.
Fuck you.
No, fuck you. I think you're a mother who lost her kid and you become obsessed with some woman who lost hers. And now you're saying a bunch of crazy shit. All this stuff with this lady. They found their guys. You need to fucking let it go.
What the fuck you mean, let it go?
Okay, just leave it alone.
Danny walks away. Renee steps out from behind the coroner's van and gazes at the convenience store. Daytime. An aerial view shows traffic crossing steel bridges. In a parking lot, Renee wears her uniform as she sits in her civilian SUV. A coroner's van passes in front of her. In a medical facility, she passes through a set of double doors and paces down a hall. She enters an autopsy room and strides past covered bodies on gurneys. An examiner looks up from his work as she approaches.
Oh, hey, Renee. How you doing?
I've been better.
Yeah, I hear that. What can I do for you?
You processed a couple of bodies that came in. A couple of special ones.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Are you wanting to see them? I can't do it. It's not protocol. I'll get in trouble.
Renee gives him an irritated look.
You can give me those brown eyes all you want, but I'm telling you, I just can't do it. Weren't you the one that found them?
Yeah.
If I get in trouble, I'm coming after you.
He leads her into a storage room.
What a mess.
They go to a bagged body.
Well, here he is.
He uncovers the lanky young man.
As you can see, oh, God, he's mangled. You can see right around there, just teeth coming through a cheek there, I think. I don't know. But his associate over here, that's a different story altogether. Get a load of this shit.
He shows her the tattooed man.
I get scalps coming in all kinds of conditions, but I've never had anything come in looking like this.
Did they put in what the official cause was?
There's no official cause. They're going to fly a medical examiner in from Chicago to look at these two guys because everybody's pretty fucked up about what happened.
Mind if I get a moment alone?
Renee, this is my job, and I love it for what it is.
Look, I understand.
I'm going to give you 5 minutes, but please don't fuck anything up. Don't take anything. Cut the lights off when you leave.
Cool.
Hurry up.
He leaves Renee alone with the bodies. She presses the tattooed man's thumb against the screen of the phone, but it remains locked. She zips up his body bag, then goes to the lanky man. She presses his thumb against the phone screen, and it unlocks. She zips up the lanky man's body bag. In the phone settings, she deactivates its fingerprint lock. She plays a video of the shootout. Later, she watches it at home.
You think it's a game? You think I won't kill her? Huh? Let us out! Huh? Let's see my boy out of here. You think it's a game? You think I won't kill her? Huh? Let us out! Huh? Let's see my boy out of here.
The video glitches, then ends. Renee goes to the TV in her living room and plays the video on it.
Let me my boy out of here. You think it's a game? You think I won't kill her? Huh? Let us out.
The video glitches, and the dark figure briefly appears. Renee reverses the video, then pauses it on the figure's image. She stares at the screen with a furrowed brow.
Let us out. Huh?
Babe.
Huh?
You coming up to bed?
Yeah, I'll be up in a minute. Uh-huh.
Renee's husband goes upstairs. She turns her attention back to the TV. The image glitches and the dark figure vanishes.
What?
In her bedroom, Renee opens a safe under a nightstand. She stows her gun inside, along with the lanky man's phone. She locks the safe and sits on her bed. Later, she cries as she watches a video of Christopher on her phone.
No, you're the coolest mom ever. I just really want you to be safe, you know? You're always out there and, you know, you have a gun and people might hurt you. I don't want them to hurt you. Mom, I just want to protect you no matter what. I just want to protect you. But I can't. Nor can Dad.
At the precinct, Sergeant Kesper leads a briefing.
In this job, what matters is what we do and how we do it. We're never going to get the respect we deserve. Because nobody outside this room knows how hard this job is. Respect doesn't come from out there. It comes from in here. This week, we lost two more of our own. Officer Gabe Roberts and Maria Burke. Now, I know some of you may despair, but let me remind you that when we're attacked, we stand tall.
We stand together. And we are strong. Just a reminder that this weekend we have the wake for Gabe and Maria. So I know I'll see you all there.
Renee shuts her eyes mournfully.
Okay, that's it. Let's go. Be safe.
In a house, photos of Burke and Robert stand in front of a window. Renee arrives in uniform and talks to Kesper.
I'm sorry. I know you've been going through a lot. I got a lot of respect for you.
She spots Danny and Penda outside.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're back.
She eyes the mourners.
These times we need all of us together. You know, we're like a family. Whenever you need an ear, I'm here.
Okay? Renee nods, then notices Danny and Penda arguing.
Excuse me.
She goes to the backyard. She approaches Penda, who wears a tie tucked into his shirt, and holds a bottle of beer.
Hey, Penda.
Good night.
Sad, huh?
Yeah. Everything all right?
Remember the killing of a kid named DeMarco Brands? Tanisha Brands was his mother's name?
I was a kid in an empty lot. Looked like a drive-by gang thing. We found him bled out. Pretty obvious what happened.
Right.
Inside, Kesper watches Renee and Penda talk.
Thank you.
Renee goes to Danny.
Danny.
Renee.
He hugs her.
Renee. You have the best name, Renee. Did you know that your name, Renee, is Kermit the Frog? In Spanish, so they don't even have a Kermit, they just have a Renee the Frog.
He steps closer.
Danny has a good name too. Danny.
Roberts. Burke.
Renee touches his shoulder.
Danny.
He rubs his eyes.
Hey.
I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't ready for any of this shit. I thought that I was ready, but I wasn't.
There's a lot going on right now. Just, what's going on with you? What happened to the club soda? No more alcohol.
Okay.
Okay?
At home, Renee watches the cell phone video on her TV.
Let me and my boy out of here. You think it's a game?
On her own phone, she receives a call from an unknown caller. She answers the phone call, which shows a view of her front porch. She looks at the door. Wearing an apprehensive expression, she paces toward the entrance to her home. She opens the front door. Glowing blue liquid lies in the street in front of her house. Renee steps onto the porch. Christopher stands in the middle of the liquid, and Renee slowly approaches him. She steps onto the liquid as it flows into a drain. She bends down as she reaches out to Christopher. His eyes turn black and he opens his mouth in a scream. Renee stirs in bed. Her husband wakes and they sit up together.
You okay, baby?
Later, they stand with the lights on.
Look, I'm sorry, Gary. I don't want to stress you out with everything that's happening to me.
They sit across from each other.
Let's just take care of us right now. Go someplace peaceful, on a vacation or something. You know? Share the weight with me, please. please.
I feel like there's a different reality that only I can see.
There's only one reality. We share it. I mean, for all we know, it could be stress.
It's not stress.
After what we went through, nobody expects us to be rational through this. And I want to help.
You can't help. I gotta figure this out on my own.
On a stormy night, Renee drives Danny in their cruiser. She stares ahead as he looks out the window nervously.
People are talking about you. They think you're losing it, and I'm scared for you. Everybody keeps saying, you know, she's chasing her own lead, she's playing detective.
Look, all these things that keep happening, they mean something. I'm just trying to do the right thing.
So am I, all right? You know, I'm just trying to get through training and keep my head down and not fuck anything up, and I'm trying to help you save your job because I care about you. Okay.
Okay.
She continues staring forward.
Danny.
Yeah.
Look, I need you. In or out?
He gazes off with a thoughtful expression. They drive past the encampment beneath the overpass. At the precinct, Renee enters the city archive office and approaches the desk clerk.
P.S. I need info. Need an address from the detective's report that was filed from Gannon's case. A church Hayes mentioned. Can you help me out? The Lou asked me to do a follow-up. Just a couple of questions.
Okay. Ask me, because I know everything. Thomas Casalio Jackson. Over on East Adams.
Daytime. Renee parks her cruiser outside a church and goes in. She walks past empty pews. A well-dressed man places a pamphlet in a holder and turns to Renee.
Officer, how can I help you?
You told our detectives that a green van disappeared off your property. It wasn't stolen, was it? You linked it to Tanisha Brands. If you impede an investigation, that's obstruction of justice.
Come to the back, and we can speak properly.
He leads her down a hallway.
We've got about 20 kids in the program. This is an activity room.
They walk past a group of kids and teachers. The children turn and stare.
And this is the room where Tanisha used to take her son DeMarco.
In an empty classroom, Renee spots origami cranes on a table.
DeMarco was one of the smartest kids we'd ever worked with. Intense. Devoted to his mom, who was maybe a little too protective of him. They were close.
A chart reads, "How do you feel today?"
Look at this.
He hands Renee his phone, and it shows a video of a boy using sign language.
DeMarco couldn't hear, but he was a resourceful child who found ways to communicate. 14 years old, but there wasn't a day he wasn't out in the city somewhere doing volunteer work or community service. That's the kind of boy that he was. Then he gets killed by senseless violence. What do you think that kind of loss does to a mother?
Where's Tanisha? But she needs to get off the street before somebody else dies.
You will help her.
I'll do what I can.
He regards her with a conflicted expression, then takes out a pen and slip of paper. He writes something down. In the evening, Renee arrives at an industrial plant in her cruiser. She parks by a garage door. Nearby, a man in a long coat pushes a shopping cart filled with scrap metal. Renee emerges from the SUV. With her flashlight aimed, she enters the dimly lit plant. She glances around uneasily as she approaches an open door, which leads to a dark hallway. Video from Renee's body cam shows her slowly climbing a stairwell. Her flashlight illuminates chipped paint on the walls. She reaches a landing and shines her light around a dark room. The light reveals a person curled up on the floor.
Tanisha?
A scruffy man looks up. Renee leaves the room. She goes through a doorway and enters a dark boiler room. She draws her gun and holds it near the flashlight. Origami cranes hang from the ceiling. Aiming her light ahead, Renee finds clothes on hangers. A collection of items clutters a small table, and a sleeping bag lies on the floor. Renee furrows her brow as she scans the space. She slowly approaches the hanging clothes. She pushes them aside. She spots something on the floor. Moving a blanket, she reveals a box bearing a faded picture of DeMarco. She raises its lid. Inside, Renee finds a newspaper clipping featuring DeMarco's photo. Black smudges resembling a person's silhouette frame the boy's image. Under the clipping, Renee finds a child's artwork and school papers. Deeper in the box, she finds yellow legal paper with pictures of Roberts and Ganning taped to it. Red ink crosses out their eyes and mouths. Renee wears an unsettled expression as she studies the images. She finds another yellow page featuring images of Burke, Danny, and Penda. The officer sets the page down. Looking up, she notices a small security camera taped to the wall. Elsewhere, Tanisha watches the video feed on a small monitor. In the boiler room, Renee draws her gun and backs away from the clothes. Outside, she leans against her cruiser. She calls Kesper.
This is Kesper. Leave a message.
Sarge, I need your help. This is Renee. Hit me back.
She makes another call. Outside a house, Danny answers his phone as he steps out of a truck.
Hey.
Renee?
Hi.
Polish. Listen to me.
I need to see you right now.
Why?
Not over the phone. I tracked down Tanisha.
Penda may be involved in some bad shit.
Danny stares off.
Polish.
Okay. Okay. Give me an hour.
Thanks,
Dad. He lowers the phone. In her cruiser, Renee drives over a bridge. She arrives at Danny's house and climbs the front steps. She finds the front door hanging open and cautiously approaches it. She enters the house.
Danny!
She steps down a narrow hallway.
Danny?
She slowly walks through the home. A liquor bottle sits beside a glass on the dining room table. Renee continues into the kitchen. Dim light shines from a TV in the living room. She flicks on a light over the counter and turns off the running sink. She glances toward the TV, then draws her gun. Turning, she paces back toward the front of the house. She re-enters the dining room. She looks across the room and through the open bathroom doorway. Streaks of blood stain the glass shower door. Inside, Danny sits slumped against the wall with a bullet hole in his temple. Renee steps into the shower. She crouches by Danny's body and shakes her head softly. Glancing over her shoulder, she notices a letter propped on the counter. It bears her name. Unfolding it, she reads, "I'm sorry, Danny." Hanging her head, Renee sets the letter down. She picks up a plastic bag containing a small orange thumb drive, then leaves the bathroom. She slowly emerges from the house. Walking down the front steps, she returns to her cruiser. She gazes back at Danny's house. She enters her vehicle. Renee's eyes well with tears. She looks down. She takes out the thumb drive and removes its cap. She inserts it into her laptop. Video from Danny's body cam plays.
It's the police! It's the police!
Spotted. Shit, let's go.
He gets out of his vehicle and chases a shadowy suspect through the rain.
Hey, stop! Stop where you are! Right now!
Stop!
Stop!
Hey! Suspect is resisting!
Get on your knees now!
On your knees!
On your knees!
The other officer fires.
Henry, what's the move?
Hold it, hold it.
What's the play?
All right, Robert, get in there.
What?
Get in there. Move, drop, clear.
I got you.
Cover. Danny, stay back. Danny, follow me. Come on, Danny.
Danny, you want to hear?
We saw him. We told him to stop.
Yeah?
Roberts pulls off the suspect's backpack.
What? He's a kid.
Hey, we told him to stop. He didn't even turn around.
Roberts finds the teen's wallet and hands it to Penda. He opens the backpack and looks inside.
What's in there?
He empties it on the ground. Penda views the teen's wallet with his flashlight.
the fuck? Shit! He's deaf.
What?
The kid's deaf. That's why he didn't respond to us. He can't fucking hear.
Oh, fuck me.
Robert steps aside as Penda stares at the teen.
Who saw this? Hey, did anyone see this? Gannon. Come here.
Penda steps aside with Ganning and Roberts. Danny reaches down and turns the teen over, revealing his injured mouth.
Oh, shit! His teeth!
DeMarco writhes in pain.
Oh, shit. Hey, we really need to get him a bus. We need to get him a bus.
He's not gonna make it.
Danny stares down at DeMarco.
Danny.
Renee stares at the video.
Hit the moon.
Yeah.
The optics on this look real bad.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Uh-huh.
It gets out we shot a kid and the public and the administration and everybody's gonna ream our ass. Okay? So I'd appreciate it. We'd appreciate it. You cooperate and let's just keep this between us.
This kid, the kid's bleeding now.
Look at me. Can I trust you? Danny? You want a future,
no.
Right?
Yeah.
Can I trust you?
Yeah. Yeah, you can trust me.
Good. We don't want any more gunfire.
Penda picks up a plastic bag, then kneels beside DeMarco.
What are you doing?
He smothers the teen with the bag.
What the fuck are you doing?
Renee watches the video with a horrified look. The teen struggles as Penda continues smothering him. Renee looks away. DeMarco goes limp. Renee shakes her head. Penda stands. He picks up DeMarco's backpack, removes its contents, and drops them on the ground. Danny approaches the teen's body. The video freezes. A tear streams down Renee's cheek.
Danny.
She stares out the windshield. Now, Renee drives through town. A glimpse shows the video of Christopher.
Mom, you have such a dangerous job. You could have picked so many other ones that you picked to be a police. Why can't you be a doctor or a fireman or something? Daddy can't even help you. I wish I could help, though. No one can.
This is Casper. Leave a message.
Sarge. Danny Hollidge is dead. He was holding evidence. I'm headed to the old plant on 53rd and 3rd. I need to show you what I have.
In front of her cruiser, a man pushes someone in a wheelchair across the street. Renee wears a dreary expression as she drives. Beside the plant, water rushes through a canal. Inside, Renee enters the boiler room with her flashlight aimed.
Tanisha! I know what happened to your son.
She sweeps the room with her light, then faces industrial windows. Clothes hang from the frames. She lowers her flashlight and leans against the dingy glass. Outside, Renee stands at the railing on an elevated walkway. A car pulls up below, and Casper gets out.
massage. Come upstairs.
Renee.
He hurries up to the walkway.
Hey.
Hey. What's the evidence that you have?
Body cam footage of the night of the murder. Kind of shit the stars right. It's really...
Renee spots another car arriving. Kesper pulls a gun on her and takes her sidearm.
You need to stay unified about what happened. Just talk inside.
He leads her toward the plant. Penda climbs to the walkway and follows them. Entering the building, they stand in a cavernous room. Penda shuts the door.
Sarge, you saw that footage too?
I don't need to see it. I just need to get rid of it. Letting the public see the record would do nothing but weaken our department.
Penda scowls at Renee.
Hollidge kept a copy of that video? Where the hell is it?
Danny's dead. He died because of you.
You know, I always thought you were a cop first.
I am a cop first, bitch!
She glares at Penda. Then he and Kesper share a look. Penda shoots her. Renee falls to the floor.
Give me that video, Renee.
He stands over her with his gun aimed.
Or the next one goes in your head instead of your vest.
The fluorescent light above them flickers. Penda and Kesper glance around the room. Tanisha appears behind Penda.
You killed my son.
Kesper aims at her.
Who the fuck are you?
DeMarco.
What?
You remember him?
Penda stares.
Because he remembers you.
Kesper pistol whips her, and she falls.
Enough of this shit.
The shadowy figure appears behind Kesper.
What the fuck is that?
The light flickers, and the figure vanishes.
Did you see that? Behind you.
What?
Kesper's eyes go wide.
Kesper! Kesper!
Open.
What the fuck?
Kesper goes rigid, and he drops his gun. An invisible force yanks him backward into the shadows. Penda stares after him as the overhead lights flicker. Renee leads Tanisha out of the room and down a staircase.
Come on.
Please.
Oh.
Penda gapes as he spots Kesper pinned to the ceiling. A wound on his forehead bleeds and blood stains his shirt. He falls to the floor, knocking teeth out of his mouth. Penda rushes out of the room. Downstairs, Renee leads Tanisha away.
You need to leave, Mr. Monko. Can't control him. You need to leave.
No. You need to leave. No. Let's listen. This ends here. Let me handle this the right way.
Elsewhere, Penda hurries down a staircase with a panicked look. He glances in the direction of the noise. Renee leads Tanisha to a secluded area and helps her to the floor.
Stay here.
Okay.
Renee draws her gun and heads off. She spots Penda across the room.
Look, Renee. I just want to get out of here.
He pulls the chain on a roll-up door but finds it locked. With his gun drawn, he paces cautiously through the room. The shadowy figure passes behind him. He turns toward the sound with wide eyes, then proceeds through the room. He approaches a raised platform. Tanisha watches from her hiding spot. As Penda checks over his shoulder, the shadowy figure passes behind him. He glances around with a panicked look. The figure appears behind him. He looks in its direction and finds it gone. Henda's forehead glistens with sweat as he scans the room. The figure appears behind him. He turns in its direction and opens fire. The figure vanishes, and Renee approaches with her gun drawn.
Drop it, Penda.
He turns toward her, and she shoots him in the arm.
What, the next one's in your head?
Penda grips his shoulder. Grimacing at Renee, he clenches his gun. His hand opens, and he drops the weapon. The shadowy figure appears in front of him and reaches deep into his throat. Furrowing her brow, Renee takes a step back. Penda appears to struggle with the empty air as the figure chokes him. The figure pulls Penda's tongue out of his mouth. Blood drips from the severed muscle. An invisible force lifts him off the floor. Renee steps back as she watches. Penda flies toward the ceiling. He falls back down, and his body lands on a pipe. Blood drips from his mangled jaw. Renee turns around and spots the shadowy figure standing nearby. She takes a step back. The figure cocks its head, and Tanisha grabs Renee's shoulder.
Don't worry. He knows you're with me now.
Renee looks between Tanisha and the figure. It shrinks, then dissolves away. Both women stare into the empty air. Now, a blurry view shows them walking together through the plant. They come into focus as they approach an exit. Emergency lights from first responder vehicles flash outside. Renee guides Tanisha toward EMTs and helps her onto a stretcher. As EMTs tend to Tanisha, Renee grips her hand and gives her a sympathetic look. The EMTs wheel Tanisha's stretcher toward an ambulance. Police officers mill about as Kesper's body rolls out on another stretcher. Renee sits on the back bumper of an empty ambulance. She watches the EMTs load Tanisha onto another ambulance nearby. Both women look toward a police car and spot Christopher and DeMarco leaning against it. Tanisha looks toward Renee, and the two women lock eyes. Tanisha waves as the EMTs push her stretcher into the ambulance. Christopher and his mother share a lingering look. The two boys walk away. Renee gazes after them with a wistful smile.
In the end to a stunning trial that riveted the public and amounted to revelations of deep-seated corruption in the Swinton Police Department, a jury handed down their verdict of guilty to Sergeant Kesper for the crime of conspiracy in the murder of DeMarco Brands. The trial began after a video recorded on the body cam of the late Officer Daniel Hollidge came to light, revealing involvement of fellow officers Kevin Ganning, Gabe Roberts, and Dario Penda. In brief comments after the trial, Officer Renee Lomito said she was just doing her duty.
At home, Renee and Gary stare at Christopher's painting of their family. Later, she patrols the city in her cruiser. Cut to black. credits appear over shaky body cam video. Directed by Malik Vithal. Screenplay by Richmond Rydell and Nicholas McCarthy. Story by Richmond Rydell.
I've been given more than I need and I don't deserve it.
Produced by Matt Kaplan, PGA.
Because when I'm lying in a coffin and I can't take one thing.
Executive producers, Mark Bainstock, Robin Marshall, Max Seemers.
Really don't mean nothing, yeah.
Director of Photography, Pedro Luque, SCU. Production designer, Elena Albanese.
This can't be life. No, this
edited by Ken Blackwell, ACE.
There's got to be more to life.
Costume designer, Carol Cutshaw.
This can't be life. No, this can't be real.
Music by Joseph Bishara.
I've been torn down like a worn down crumbling building.
Co-producer, John H. Brister.
But I'm up now and I'm up.
Casting
now
by
I'm
Lauren Gray,
living.
CSA.
I was chained to the pain.
Mary J. Blige. Body cam.
Somebody to come fill me with something. Yeah.
Nat Wolf.
There's got to be more to life than
David Zayas.
This can't be life. No.
David Warshawski.
This can't be real. Oh, no, no. There's got to be
Demetrius Gross.
To life than this. Got to
and Anika
more.
Noni
this
Rose.
Can't be life. This can't no. be life. This can't be real.
Lance Nichols. Laura Grice.
Think I reached the ceiling in my car.
Paramount Pictures and Paramount Players present an Ace production.
I'm trying to go higher. I'm trying to go higher. I'm trying to go higher.
Credits roll.
But I'm trying to go higher. I'm trying to go higher.
I'm trying to go higher.
There's got to be more.
This can't be real.
There's got to be more to life than this. This can't be life. No, this can't be real. There's got to be more to life than this. This can't be life. No, this can't be real. There's got to be more to life. This can't be life. No, this can't be real.
Copyright 2019, Paramount Players, a division of Paramount Pictures Corporation, all rights reserved. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution.